Thank you for joining me today's broadcast of The Love Way. Today we continue to speak on spiritual warfare, and I am just so excited because the more I read into this, just the more I see of God's goodness. I just want to lay this foundation before I just go into the 5 to 10 minutes where we speak about healing. Spiritual warfare is all about believing in Jesus. It's all about taking what is freely given unto you. That's all that it's about. It's not about trying to fight demons over places and all of that. Spiritual warfare is to keep on believing in what Jesus Christ told you He has freely given unto you. That's all that it is. The attack of the devil towards people, the attack of demons, powers and principalities, is to get you not believing that you are righteous. Is to get you to believe that you can be cursed. Is to get you to believe that sickness is yours because of your wrong deeds. The whole spiritual war is actually not to be under do's and don'ts, but to be in the message of God's grace and love, the message of faith. Amen. Now, before I get deeper into that, I want to just speak a little bit about healing, because there's a lot of people that can be listening to this broadcast. You've got headaches, you've got cancer, you've got sickness that's really bothering you, and you need healing in your physical body. I thought it good to testify a little bit about what happened in Zambia when I prayed for some sick people. We would do these opening gospel crusades up in Zambia, and we're still doing those crusades. And one day I went up to, and was in the, I think it was in February, which is a rainy season in Zambia. And we took our pickup, and the stage was on top of my pickup. I just had a platform on top of that, and I would put up my speakers and one or two light poles, and then I would just start to preach the gospel. And that day it was raining, and it was raining for about a week, and I was getting upset. I said, you know, Lord, I came to preach the gospel here, and it's so difficult to preach because halfway in the service it starts to rain, the people start to run home, and it's just a mess. And we preached in a little suburb called Linda, and I was just preaching there for 2 or 3 days in this area. And we had about 10 guys in the back of the pickup, and we towed a trailer as well, and we drove up to the field, and it was just overcast with that soft rain and no wind, and it's just raining. And I just said, Lord, I want to preach tonight. And there was just there was no chance. And it was about 3 hours, 2.5 hours before I had to start to preach. That's when I pitched up there. And all of a sudden I just felt, you know, I felt the buggy shaking, and I said to the guys in the back, sit still, why do you just run around, you know, bump around in the pickup? And I looked, I said, no, but they said, we are sitting still. And they were. But there came a massive wind, and this wind was blowing, man, like you can't believe. And it blew that all that rain away, and the sun came out. And we could start to pitch up our light poles. We could pitch that and do the sound and everything. And we had about 1,000 people coming out to the meeting. And you know, the way I am while I preach, big mouth, I said, well, God will heal any sickness there is. You can bring anybody, God will heal him. And I said that about 10 minutes before I would pray for the sick at the end of the service. And I thought, you know, the people that are there are the people that are there. And at night the sound really travels far in those villages. And when I started to pray for the sick, I said, well, bring all the sick. And I saw at the other side of the field somebody coming with a wheelbarrow. And they brought a woman that was... she didn't know where she was. She had a very big mental problem. She had brain damage. She couldn't talk. She didn't know where she was. She was completely crippled. She didn't walk with crutches or anything. She was crippled. Her arms were drawn up like this. Her legs. Her arms and legs were thin like this. She couldn't walk. It was impossible. There were other people as well with crutches, and they pushed this lady in the wheelbarrow. And the crowd was of 1,000 people was just scattered all over the field. And when they saw this wheelbarrow coming, everybody just would just stand around her and just look at this. And I just said, well, we're going to pray for the sick. And I prayed And as I prayed, I just heard somebody shout, and that was God opening a blind eye. And this was a young guy, and this guy was just shouting, "I've been healed, I've been healed." And then I saw somebody throwing stuff at me, and was a guy throwing his crutches right over the stage, and he started running. And there was just an outpouring of the glory of God in the lives of those people that were sick. And as these miracles were happening, one of the ushers walked up to the lady in the wheelbarrow, and he said to her, "You can walk now." Miracle above miracle, she understood him, and she started to try and make some movement. But I mean, she is completely crippled, and it was just a little bit more and a little bit more, and eventually they picked her up out of the wheelbarrow, put her on her feet. She was all twisted. She couldn't stand on her feet. I mean, everything was just twisted up. And as they put her on the ground, God started to straighten her legs. She started to walk slowly. And within about 3 minutes of walking, all trying to walk crippled up, she was straightened out, and she could run in front of all of our eyes. She was in her right mind. Isn't that wonderful? That's just the power of God in the lives of people. I want to tell you, that lady didn't have faith. She just came, and there was other people believing, and there was just a God that had compassion upon her. And I want to tell you, God has got compassion on you as well. And the same as what He did for that lady in Linda Lusaka, Zambia, He wants to do the same for you. Now, the next day, just to testify a bit further, the next day I went to the house to just go and speak to the husband of this lady, and I said to I found him at the house, and she wasn't there. I said to him, "Now, where's your wife?" He said, "You know, she's got a lot of work to do because she's been sick for about 3 years, and nobody has been working in the field, so she needs to go and work in the field. She's in the field working." Man, I tell you, I rejoiced. She walked about, at the end of that week, she walked about 3 or 4 kilometers to the river where we baptized her. Isn't that wonderful? That is the miracle power of God. When I was in Kitwe, in the central northern, I don't know, Zambia is such a funny country, but in the Kitwe and Ndola area, the Copperbelt province, and there was a lady that brought her child that was born paralyzed, and he was about 8 years of age, and completely paralyzed, the legs just hanging, and never had any sensation or movement in that legs whatsoever. And you know, we just preached the good news. I preached this message of God's unconditional love, and I just said, "Lord, you know, this message of your unconditional love is such a powerful message." And when I preached in a seminar, there was other preachers that preached the law. They preached different things, and I said, "Oh my God, you know, you need to do something." And the Lord said to me back, "I'll confirm my word of grace with signs, wonders, and miracles." And as I went to this church and I preached, I said, "Well, we're going to pray for the sick." And then the interpreter came and he spoke a little bit about what God has done in previous crusades and whatever, and the people got excited and knew that God would heal them, and this word of grace is powerful, that God will heal the sick. And then people came forward, and the one after the other one was healed, and then this lady came with her child. And I just said, "Father, by the grace of Jesus Christ, you have come to justify him. Justify means just as if I have never sinned. And sickness and disease came into this world because of the sin of Adam. And if we are justified, it means that that has all been cancelled and that we are healed." I prayed for the young boy. I said to the mother, "Put him on his feet." The mother put him on his feet, and he stood. But he was so afraid of me because he's never seen a white man. Because this was in a village. He's never seen a white man. And he was just crying, terrified, looking at me. And I think that time maybe I had a wild beard as well. But anyway, when he looked at me, I saw this child is so terrified, he's never going to walk. He's grabbed onto his mom. So I said to his mom, "Loosen him from your legs. Let him grab around this pole that kept the roof up, you know, the pillar." And he grabbed onto this. This was just an old tin shack, basically, that we preached in. He grabbed onto this pole and he held onto the pole. And the mom, I told her to stand about 5 meters away. And I just went up to this child and I just said to him, "Whoa!" You know, he just ran off and was completely made whole by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. By God confirming His word. I mean, He could. I know He was healed by the stripes of Jesus. You might say, man, He caught such a fright that He was healed. Man, He's healed. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, healing is also for you today. You must know that Jesus Christ, the one that has healed those people, want to heal you. He wants to touch you. He wants to just bring all of that health into your body. He wants to heal you from that lung problem. He wants to heal you from that liver problem. He wants to heal you from that pancreas problem. You know, when we were out in Canada, I prayed for a lady that also had cancer in the liver, or something to do with cancer in the liver, and they had to do some replacement there. And I prayed for her. She was so sick, she couldn't even sit in the service. They just brought her in. I prayed for her. They carried her home. And 2 weeks later, they phoned. They said, listen, you can come for your transplant. We found a donor. And she flew over to Toronto. When she got there, they opened her up. And they just said, well, there's nothing wrong with you. And they just closed her up again. Isn't that wonderful? God healed her. So the same can happen to you. Amen. God can heal you. I'm just reminded of the time when I preached in Cooma. In Stilfontein, there was a man born without an eardrum. But he had a hole in the ear, like us. But there was no eardrum there, so they closed it up because he would get infections and stuff in there. We prayed for him, and God just gave him a new eardrum, and God healed him. So God can do anything. He can do the same for you. Isn't that wonderful? Now, let's just pray and speak this healing power of God over your life. Father, I thank you that I can just speak forth your healing power. I just rebuke paralysis in the mighty name of Jesus by saying, people, you are healed by the glory of God Almighty. All headaches disappear. All gangrene disappears. All back problems, you are healed. Knee problems, elbow problems, shoulder problems. Everything, it is healed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It comes to my mind that there's a young child that struggles to walk. You've been born like that. Your back is a little bit skewed. Not a lot, just a bit. And sometimes becomes painful. But you're such a joyful, energetic guy. And I don't think you're watching this. I can be mistaken. But your mom's watching this. And I just speak the healing power of God over that child right now. In Jesus' name. I say you are healed. You are straightened up. And no more pain. No more discomfort in the life of that child. That child will not complain about pain again. He is healed in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your healing power that you have just poured out on so many people. Man, if you have just received the healing, if you've just received the touch of God, I would just kindly ask you to just send an SMS of what God's done for you. The touch of God has been upon your life. Hallelujah. The glory of God is upon you. The power of God's upon you. I can just still feel His glory moving onto the lives of people, healing and changing the lives of people. Amen. Now let's get into Ephesians chapter 6, and we're just going to continue to speak about this glorious gospel, this good news of Jesus Christ. It says here, in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth. Now remember what we said about having the loins girt about with the truth. The loins is the progressive power that's in your life. It's the love of God. Remember what the Bible said in says in 2 Corinthians 5 verses 14, Paul says, the love of Christ compels me, because I am of this mind, that if one died, all died. So this gospel that says one died, then all died because of the death of one. One obeyed Jesus Christ, therefore all are obedient. That is called the love of God. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, herein is love, that He gave His only begotten Son, so that we might live through Him. That means that we could die through His death, and that we can live through His life. Hallelujah. And that we obey through His obedience, not through our own. Now, that is the progressive power. Now, the word loins means progressive power. Now, he says there, protect that power that's going to push you forward by continuing to meditate upon the truth. Now, Bertie, you might say, but what is the truth? I just tell the truth. I just speak the truth the way it is. I preach the gospel. You're going to go to hell, you sinner. And if you don't come right in your deeds, you're going to go to hell. Now, you know, that's not the truth. That's the law. That's the facts. But the truth is a consciousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible says God seeks worshippers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, the true worshippers will have no more conscience of sin, because through one sacrifice He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now I want to just speak to the church today, and I believe a lot of church people are listening. If you are somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, I've got good news for you. You can right now accept Him as your Savior, accept that He paid for your sins, accept that He obeyed on your behalf, accept that He is your righteousness, accept that He is your joy, accept that He's your representative. And the moment you accept that, the Spirit of God will just come and He will just manifest that glory in your life, and you will be born from above. Isn't that wonderful? That's the glory of God, man. You'll be saved. You'll experience the salvation that has come your way. Now, if you are saved, I've got good news for you. Don't try and base your spiritual war on do's and don'ts. The scripture clearly says here that the weapons of our warfare is not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 5. And here it also says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not a physical thing. It's not a carnal thing. It's not a do's and don'ts thing. This whole thing is a spiritual thing. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So in the flesh, this war is not physical. It's not, if I do everything right, then God's going to bless me. If I physically do everything right, no, it's not physical. It's spiritual. It's demons and devils and things in high places trying to change your mindset, trying to change the way you believe. And the way you war is by walking in a consciousness of Jesus and not in a consciousness of sin. And that will keep this power that pushes the church forward, that pushes the church into the manifestation of the glory of God, alive in their lives. You know, it doesn't help you don't have that force that drives you. Paul says that love compels me. Now, I need to know that love of God to the point that it compels me as well. You know, it's good that it compelled Paul, but here am I, Lord. I also want that. And the only way he got it was just by simply knowing that Jesus died for all. If one died, all died. Now, let's continue. It says, have your progressive power protected by the truth. Now, the devil will want to stop you from going forward in life by making you sin conscious. Do you know that the whole thing about the blood, when the blood was smeared on the post, it was smeared on the outside so that God could see the blood. It wasn't the people seeing the blood, it was God seeing the blood. What sets you free is God's perspective on your sin. And God's perspective on your sin is that your sin has been paid for in the body of Jesus Christ. So many times we think it's my perspective of my sin. Your perspective of your sin is that your sin will kill you so many times. A great percentage of the people in the church today, their whole perspective of sin is against me. And that when God sees sin, He's going to judge me. And if I live in sin, God cannot bless me. Now that's a wrong perspective. Thank God that God doesn't act towards us on the basis of our perspective of our sins. But He said, put the blood on the outside of the house so that when the angel of death came past, he could see the blood. It's God's perspective on your sin that saves you. Hallelujah. It's God's perspective on your sin that's the good news. His perspective is it's paid for. Hallelujah. That, man, that makes me excited. Thank you, Jesus. And then it says here, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. So, what does that mean? That means that your heart, the way you believe, the Bible says, with a heart a man believes unto righteousness. Now it says, put on this breastplate of righteousness. What he actually says is, believe in your heart you are righteous. Protect your belief system by knowing you are righteous. What the devil will try to tell you and the enemy and all these things in high places is they want to tell you that you must become sin conscious by the way you live. Doors will be open to you and doors will be closed to you. It's all based on your deeds. But our war is not in the physical. It's in the spiritual. Okay? The second thing they'll want to tell you is you are not righteous. Righteous means to have the right to everything that Jesus has because you are right and not wrong. Man, that's powerful. To be in such a right standing with God that you've got the right to have everything that Jesus has a right to right now in this world because you are right and not wrong. Now that is righteousness. Now the devil will tell you you are wrong, and because you've done this wrong, and because you are wrong, God cannot bless you here. Therefore you don't have the right to have what God tells you you can have. You must first get rid of all the sins in your life, and then when you get rid of all the sins, then God will bless you. You know what? I've got news for you. In your physical ability, it's impossible for you to get rid of your sins. It needed the blood of Jesus to make you right. Amen. Now, we need to put on that breastplate of righteousness because the Bible says with the heart we believe unto salvation. How will we experience salvation if our heart is sick and if our heart is not established that we are righteous? So what the devil tell you is that you are not. But what we need to do is we need to know what Jesus Christ has done freely for us to the point that we know we are righteous, and we protect our whole belief system about who God is by believing we are righteous. If you don't believe in your heart that you are righteous, you know what will happen? You will believe wrong things about God. If you don't protect your heart, your belief system, what you believe about God with knowing that you are righteous, you know what you will believe about God? You'll believe that God will punish you. You'll believe that God will take His hand of protection away from you. You'll get this whole umbrella teaching which says, man, you know we get these funny things. This umbrella teaching that you will stand, you're not under God's umbrella of protection. And so many times we believe that umbrella is so small. Man, I believe God, if you want to get an umbrella teaching, bless God. The Bible says, keep yourself in the love of God and the evil one will not touch you. And here in His love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. The Bible says we should return to our first love. What is the first love? He loved us first. We should return to that. But we've gone into a second love. How we must love Him for Him to love us. No, out of His love flows everything. Thank you, Jesus. Now that's a mouthful. Maybe you need to get some of our ministry material, you know, which is just up for a donation of any amount, which you will see at the end of the broadcast, and just get into this, man. Listen to this. If you cannot donate, I'll send it to you for free. But we want you to get into this good news. Amen. Have your loins girt with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, what I believe this is, the gospel of peace, through the gospel of peace, things have been prepared for us. And have your walk in this life, your stand, what you stand in, have it protected by knowing that everything has been prepared for you through the gospel of peace. Now the word peace in the Greek means prosperity. Now why it says that, and you can see that in the series on peace that I've preached. The reason why the word peace in the Greek means prosperity is because when you know your stuff is paid and you don't owe people stuff, there is an emotion in you of rest. That's called peace. If you owe somebody money and you cannot pay him, guess what? You don't have peace. But the moment you've paid, all of a sudden, because your debt's paid, there is an emotion that comes into your heart. It's called peace. Now it says, And that peace only comes when you know your stuff's paid. When you know what you need towards God in your relationship with Him has been prepared for you in Jesus Christ. The righteousness you need has been prepared. The holiness you need has been prepared. The way you walk, your stand in Christ will be protected by knowing that everything has been prepared for you through the gospel of the peace that there is between you and God. That's written down in the Bible. It says there, and Christmas time we've been thinking of this all the time. Unto us a child has been born, and when he was born, the angels came and said, peace on earth, goodwill or a good reputation unto man. Now, we need to know that we don't have to walk to try to get God to think we've got a good reputation. Protect your walk. Don't try and walk in the law. Your protection in the way you walk will be by knowing everything has been prepared for me, and you will walk with the boldness and with the glory of God. You'll stand firm on the rock, Jesus Christ. The devil will try to tell you all has not been prepared. He's just prepared salvation to go to heaven, and the rest you get by your obedience. Let's read verse 15 again. And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, go into this week and just walk knowing that you are righteous, knowing that you have got the gospel of peace with you, and knowing the truth, not a consciousness of sin. And in such a way is your spiritual war. And in such, by knowing that, you will always walk in the victory given to you by Jesus. Amen.